Okay, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Maseches Sukkah. Today's daf is Sukkah Daf Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also by Avi and Sarah Schwartz in honor of the second birthday of their daughter Yakira Liba, whose birthday is tonight, Chav Tes Tammuz. She should have a very happy birthday and be zochah in good health to many, many, many more. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. We obviously are holding at the very top of Daf Beis Amud Aleph a little bit of an introduction to Maseches Sukkah. The Me'iri in his Hakdamah to Maseches Sukkah tells us that Sukkah can really be divided into three parts. There are the halachos of Asiyas HaSukkah and Yeshiva B'Sukkah. Those are the first two prakim, making the Sukkah and the actual mitzvah of dwelling in the Sukkah. The Aruch Lener writes that the reason the Tana starts with Hilchos Sukkah before Hilchos Dalet Minim, even though in the Torah it's the reverse, is because Asiyas HaSukkah is something that must be done in advance of Yom Tov. You can't build it once it's already Yom Tov, whereas the Dalet Minim only becomes relevant on Yom Tov itself. Others suggest that it's that the Sukkah, Yeshiva B'Sukkah, happens chronologically before Dalet Minim, because Sukkah is at night and the Dalet Minim is only during the daytime. But anyway, that's the first section of the Masechta. Then the Masechta moves on to the Halachos of Lulav and the other Minim. That's the third parak of the Masechta. And then the third topic the Masechta has is the Karbanos HaChag and the Simcha that they used to have in the Beis HaMikdash of Chag HaSukkos, and that is in the fourth and fifth parakim of the Masechta. The Aruch Liner, in his Hakdamah to the Masechta, breaks it down even further, not to three parts, but to seven parts. That first you have the first parak, which is building the sukkah. Then you have the second parak, which is yeshiva b'sukkah. Then you have the third parak, which is dalin minim. Then the fourth parak, which is mitzvahs arava in the mikdash. Then further in the fourth parak, the mitzvah of nisach hamayim in the mikdash. Then in the fifth parak, the karbanos hachag. And then weiter in the fifth parak, the simchas beis hashoeva. And because there are these seven elements to the mitzvah of sukkah, Chazal make a drasha that the pasuk in Tehillim says, Todieni orachayim sova smachos es panecha al tikri sova ela sheva. That it's as if sheva smachos, that there are seven sources of joy in the Yom Tov of Sukkot, because there are these seven mitzvos that the Masechta is going to speak about. Of course, if one begins Daf Yomi now, or if one continues Daf Yomi now, for the next 8 months, you will, believe neder, hopefully be able to finish, Bezras Hashem, seven different Masechta. So it's a very auspicious time to begin the Daf Yomi. So let's begin Sukkot Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The Daf is going to, or before we begin, just to outline what the Daf is going to talk about, the Mishnah is going to talk about four different types of Sukkot. One of which is a machlokas, if it's kosher or pasul, and three of which are just certainly pasul. Then we're going to talk about why by sukkah we use the term pasul when we say it's above 20 amos, yet by a mavoi, where you need a beam over the mavoi to be allowed to carry in the mavoi, we don't use the term pasul, we instead say yema'i, that you should lower the beam. Then we're going to have three different shitos why a sukkah can't be higher than 20 amos. What would be the problem with the sukkah that's higher than 20 amos? We're going to have three shitos. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to align three different statements of Amoraim with the different explanations for the psul of a sukkah l'mala michav, and then the Gemara is going to prove which case is subject to a machlokas based on the use of Hiloni Hamalka sukkah as a raya. That the Gemara uses Hiloni Hamalka sukkah as a raya in the machlokas about l'mala michav ama. So we're going to try to figure out based on that which cases of a sukkah l'mala michav ama are subject to machlokas and which cases are not subject to machlokas. So let's begin at the Mishnah's Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Sukkah shikvah l'malam yasur mamah psula. If you have a sukkah that's more than 20 amos high off the ground, it is possible. Rabbi Yehuda makshiv, Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. V'sheinu gavah asar tvachim, but if you have a sukkah that's not even 10 tvachim tall, v'sheinu shalosh tefanos, does not have three walls, v'shechamasim rumitzilasa, or has more sunlight than it has shade, all three of those cases, more than less than 10 tvachim off the ground, too few walls and too much sunlight, all in all three of those cases, psula. The sukkah is simply going to be puzzled. The Acharnim raised we already discussed why it is that we discuss sukkah before Dalet Minim. When we say Sheinu Gavah Asar Tefachim, the Rishonim have a number of mahalchim. What's the problem with the sukkah that's also said 10 tefachim tall? The Ritva writes that it doesn't have chalal shel Asar Tefachim, and therefore it's not considered tzchach. Schach is only if it covers over an area that's 10 tefachim of depth. So it's a psul in the schach. The Ra'ah says that no, it's a psul in the mechitzos asukah, that the mechitzah is less than 10 tefachim, and therefore it's a psul in the mechitzah. Whereas the Meiri says that any time the halal is not a sar tefachim, it's not ra'ui for anything, which is what the Gemara seems to assume, and the Gemara calls it later on a dira srucha, that it's simply something that's not usable space. And if it's not usable space, one can never fulfill basukah's teshvu. We have to dwell in the sukkah, in the place that's teshu, where we darshan teshu ke'en taduru, that you have to live there like one would normally live. So a dira srucha, a person would never be dar b'dira srucha, a person would never live in a dira srucha. Now we said chamasim ruv mitzilas, it's going to be possible. So Rashi writes, what's the reason why if it's more sunlight than shade that it's going to be possible? So Rashi writes something somewhat unusual. He writes hamuat batel barov v'arev k'misheino, that the muat becomes batel in the rove, that the rove is the sunlight, so the little bit of schach becomes batel, and therefore it's as if you don't have any schach, and al shem schach kru yisukkah, sukkah is only a sukkah if it has schach, but if you don't have any schach, because all the schach is batel to the sunlight, so then you don't have a sukkah. So the stipler in Kilis Yaakov in Siman Aleph asks, how can you say that there's bitl barov? The miut is nikar b'fnei atzma. Bitl means that the miut loses its identity. But it's very easy to see the miut. It's very clear. You look up and you see the schach. Bitl barov is when you have a taroves, a little bit of milk falls into a big pot of chicken soup. You can't even tell that there's milk there anymore. So it's in the taroves. You can't single that out and identify it. Not when the miut is nikar b'fnei atzma, right? Imagine you have a non-kosher hamburger and two kosher hamburgers, right? So it's a yavish b'yavish, and you can't identify which one's non-kosher and which ones are the kosher ones. So we say bitl barov. If you knew which one was the non-kosher one, would you say bitl barov? No, of course not. You would take the non-kosher hamburger and you would chuck it. You'd have to throw it out. So why is it that there's bitl barov over here? So therefore the stipler says, no. This is not bitl barov that we're talking about. This is a different din that is similar to, but not the same as bitl barov. It's a din called rubo kikulo, that even when the miut is nikar, we do say rubo kikulo. Where do we apply rubo kikulo? A person does a shechita and he shechts rov shnei simanim, the majority of the pipes that he's supposed to cut in the animal. So even though the miut is nikar, you see that part of what you're supposed to cut, part of the pipes of the animal are still intact, and you can see it. But nevertheless, we say rubo kikulo. It's as if you did the full shechita. So the same would be over here. We would apply rubo kikulo. So the stipler has a long discussion. What's the difference between bitl barov, the din of bitl barov, versus the din of rubo kikulo? So he suggests that when you're looking at one item, and you're trying to ascertain the status of that one item, then you say rubo kikulo. Like the simanim, are they shechted or are they not? They either are shechted or not, so we follow the rove. If it's rove shechted, then we say that they're shechted. A chatzar, you want to know if this chatzar is fenced in or not. Or our sugya, you have a sukkah. Is it mesuchaches or is it not mesuchaches? So you look at the rove, and the rove determines whether it has that status or not. But when you're looking at two separate items, then you don't say rubo kukulo. Then you say when there's a taroves and the miut is not nikker, then you apply bitl barov. That's what the stipler suggests. Then the stipler suggests maybe another distinction, that the din of rubo kukulo is only when the miut is different in mitzius than the rove, and it's the opposite of the rove. Like in the simanim, rove of the simen is shachut, and the miut is Eino shachut, the exact opposite. Rove is mesuchach, rove of the sukkah is schach, the miut is eino mesuchach. It doesn't have any schach on it. So one is the opposite of the other. The rove is eino mesuchach, the miut is mesuchach, right? That's the case in our Mishnah, it's chamas merum etzlasa. As opposed to a case where the miut is not completely different from the rove, then we don't apply rubo kukulo, then we apply bitl barov. Right? You have a hamburger, another hamburger, they're both hamburgers, and they're totally opposite of each other, so then we would not apply rubo kukulo. In such a case, we would apply bitl barov. So says the Gemara now, we had the halacha, the first halacha, that is the malam, asher mamu, we have a machlokas tanoim, whether it's pasul or kasher, that the Tanakama said it's pasul, so tanan, asher mavishu gavam, asher mamu, yema'et, rebi domen, and tzarech. You have a similar machlokas, same same Bali Plukta, the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, arguing about a Mavui that's Gavoa Me'asur Mama. That a Mavui Gavoa Me'asur Mama, where the Tanakhama says, Yema'et, it's no good, and therefore you have to lower the beam, meaning the Allah is, if you're in a Mavui, so on a Darais level, the status of Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to carry in it. The Mavui has many Chatzeros that open up into the Mavui, but Midrabanan, it's a Carmelis and Midrabanan, you're not allowed to carry in it. But if you make a hacker over the entranceway of the Mavui by putting a Korah over the entranceway of the Mavui, and you make Shitupe Mavuos, then you're going to be allowed to carry within the Mavui. But you need that hacker, you need that beam over the entranceway of the Mavui, lest you forget and carry right outside of the Mavui into the Rishus HaRabim. So what if that hacker is so high up, no one can see it? It's the Maila Mechavama. So Tanakama says, Yemayit, Rabbi Yehuda says, Eino Tzarech. No need to be Memayit. So Maisha Gabi Sukkot Tanim Psul, Maisha Gabi Mavui, Tanim Takanta. Why is it by Sukkot we just say puzzle, like it just is, it's puzzle. Whereas by a Mavui, we're not as absolute. We tell you what to do about it. We offer a suggestion as to what to do about it. Like Rabbi Razmi told us last night in this year, that some people, that was the Gadlus of Yisro. Anyone could complain and tell you that the system is messed up. Yisro is the one that offered an Eitzah, right? And that's why he was zochet to have an extra parsha added in the Torah, or a parsha in the Torah that's al shemo, that's on his name, because he offered takanta. So we should be more cheerful. We should always offer takanta. Why is it by Sukkah we only just say absolutely psula, and by Mavui we say takanta? Do we go through how to fix it? So says Gemara, because Sukkah daraisa tani psula, Mavui drabanan tani takanta. Difference is Sukkah is a din daraisa, and because it's din daraisa, the Malam Mechavam is a psul daraisa, so we use more absolute terms to describe a problem on a daraisa level. Since Mavui is only drabanan, so we say a takanta. So the Viba Yisema, says Gemara, but Daraisa na mitani takanta. Maybe even by Daraisa you could use the term of takanta. You could even on Daraisa you don't have to say such absolute terms. But there's another reason why by Sukkah we don't tell you how to fix it, because miu Sukkah dinafishi milsa pasuk v'tani psula mavid lo nafish mili tani takanta. Because we're about to go through all these different psulim of the Sukkah, and each one has to be fixed in a different kind of way. So it would be very wordy. The halacha is, the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechus Pesachim, that the own you're always supposed to teach in the most brief and to the point kind of way. So if we had to go through the takanto of what you do about a sukkah that's lematame asar tvachim, what do you do with a sukkah that's chamasam rubisulas, we'd have to go through how to fix all of these different problems. So with brevity is king when it comes to Torah Shebal Peh, and therefore we're going to just say that it's psula. But what is behind that first answer, that on a daraisa level, when somebody's pasul midaraisa, we use the term pasul. When it's drabanan, we tell you what to do about it. So Rav Shachter, when we learned the Sechus Sukkah, explained to us that he thought that this fits beautifully with the Nesivus and Siman Reish Lamed Daled. The Nesivus has a discussion that in general there are, briskers like to discuss, and Nesivus didn't know from briskers, but briskers like to discuss, what is an Isser Gavra and what is an Isser Cheftza, right? We always divide things into those categories, and it helps be Miyashiv, a whole bunch of Rambams and Sugis and whatever. But what about cases where you don't have such lamdas? What do we generally assume? Are things generally in Isser Gavra, or are things generally in Isser Cheftza? So the Nesivus writes, it depends. The default position of all Isurei Torah is that it's in Isser Cheftza, meaning that only the Ribbono Shel Olam can create an object with inherent characteristics of Isser. So the object is inherently Aser. That's when it's Daraisa, when the Ribbono Shel Olam did it. But when it comes to Din Midrabanan, with the Mechayiv of Din Midrabanan, that we have to listen to Divrei Chachamim. So the Divrei Chachamim, the Chachamim can tell me what to do. They can't change this object. They can't make this table, which is perfectly mutter, into a Cheftza Shel Isser. But they could tell me that I'm not allowed to get Hana'ah from it, or I'm not allowed to use it, or something like that. So that's why when it comes to a din daraisa, we say absolute psula. Psula is the description of the cheftza, that this sukkah is psula. When it comes to din drabanan, we describe what you ought to do. How do you behave? Takanta. So we tell you how to fix it. You might. You lower the mavui. Now, if you look at Tosos is midway through the Ramasal daraisa. Inam yesham d'loshen yemayit mashma chumra drabanan b'yalma psula mashma daraisa. That the loshen yemayit more implies that which is drabanan, psula implies that which is Daraisa. Rav Shachter thought that's what he meant, based on the Nesivus, that's what Tosos meant. And he points out, Uperek Ba Madlikin, Damim Ner Chanuk Shenich L'Malam Esr Me'ama, Psula, wait a second, in Parakva Malik, when we talk about Ner Chanukah, we say that if Ner Chanukah is Mal Ne'asr Mama, Ner Chanukah is only Drabanan. And over there it says, Psula! So how can you say that whenever it's a Din Drabanan, we always talk about Yema'et, and over here, and when it's Din Daraisa, we say Psula, over there it's a Din Drabanan, we say Psula. So he says, Agav Ditan, Kesukah Naganami Gavi Ner Chanukah Psula. So since it says Kesukah Kamavui, the next word in the Gemara is that it's possible, just like a sukkah, so that's why it uses the term possible, because the term possible is appropriate for a sukkah. Or says Tosos, Inami Avatani Ma'it of Mashma Kemoshay Samadekas Yeshbilena. The word Yema'it would be very misleading in that context. In that context, it would sound like if you have an Erchanuk, Lamala Mechavama, just bring it to lower ground. Bring the already lit Ner to a place that's Lamata Mechavama. So we don't want to say that because that's not true. If you hold the Hadlaka as a mitzvah, so then the Hadlaka is in a Makom HaPsul, it's not going to fix to do the Hanacha somewhere else. And even if you hold the Hanacha as a mitzvah, the Haroa Omer Letzarcho Madlika, someone who sees you doing that will think that it's not a Ner Chanukah at all, that you must have lit this candle for your own benefit, for your own needs, and now you're moving it from one place to the other. Okay, Vaiter in the Gemara. Minani Mili. Now that we've described why we discuss the Psul in such an absolute term, now let's get to the actual Halacha. Right? The Halacha that we said, if it's a Malam Echavama, Machlokas. Where Tanakama says, the Chum says, Pasul, and Rabbi says, Kasher. Why would you Pasul? Right? Everything is Mutter until proven Asur. There has to be an Isur in the Torah. If there's no Isur in the Torah, then it's going to be Mutter. So what Minani Mili? Where would you get the idea that a sukkah l'malam mechafam is possible? Says the Gemara, three possibilities. Possibility number one, Amar Rabba Domer Krat. Pasuk says, L'man yedu dor sechen kvi v'sukkah s'ashafti es b'nei Yisrael. It's the purpose of the sukkah is that future generations should recall that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sat us in sukkos when we were trekking through the Midbar. We're going to have a machlokas later on in Daf Yud Aleph. Which sukkos is that referring to? Is that referring to sukkos mamish? Or is that referring to Anane HaKavod? The Bach has a much celebrated comment where he writes that whenever the Torah says lema'an, that you do a mitzvah lema'an, it means that in addition to the regular rules of mitzvah shrichas kavana, that you have to have kavana in order to be mekayim a mitzvah midaraisa, you even need to have kavana for the tama mitzvah, for the purpose of the mitzvah, for the toelas of the mitzvah. So if it's in order that yedu dorosechem, one has to actually have kavana for whether it's sukkos mamish or anane akavod, not just that you're being mekayim mitzvahs boro. And that's why the Bach explains the Torah actually paskins on the machlokas of sukkos mamish versus anane akavod, because it's relevant lahalacha, so you can know what kavana to have. Mishbur recommends being machmir for that lichachila, that one should have in mind the actual meaning of the mitzvah. But the pasuk says that's what the schach is there for. It's to remind you of the sukkos. So ades mamadim yodeh shudar. Up until 20 amos of height, you'll still recognize that you're sitting in a sukkah because you'll see the schach. But if it's more than 20 amos off the ground, your eye's not going to catch the schach. You won't even see that high up, and then you're likely to forget that you are in fact sitting in a sukkah. The Marcheshes points out that according to Rabba, if you say like the Shita of Rabba, that any time that you have a suffix in the Hechsher sukkah, you should not be yotze. Even when mitzad adin, the sukkah should have been mutter. Meaning, let's say there's a svek sveka on the sukkah, svek sveka lakula on the sukkah, but still, if the person at the time didn't know that he was sitting in a kasher sukkah, it means he didn't know that he was sitting in a tzel sukkah. He thought he might have just been sitting in a gazebo, because if it's a pasul sukkah, it's not a sukkah. So if you don't know for sure at the time that you're sitting in a sukkah that it's in fact a kasher sukkah, then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It becomes pasul, because there's a laman yedu is ma'akev, that you need to know that you're sitting in a sukkah. It's quite a chiddush, according to the Marcheshes. Marcheshes writes, so the Marcheshes writes, based on that, if a person sat in sukkah and said a bracha, and then there was a suffix whether the sukkah was kosher or not, and they fixed the sukkah while he was there, he's going to have to say a bracha again. Now normally you say suffix brachas lahakel, so he might have been yotzei the first time. So what do you mean? Why would he have to say the bracha again? Says Marcheshes, because it's vadai that he wasn't yotzei. It's vadai that he, but it's a suffix kosher sukkah, but there was no leman yedu, so therefore that makes it that it's a vaday that he wasn't yotzei the mitzvah. That's the Marcheshes chiddush within the Shita of Rabba. So that's answer number one. Where do we get the idea that a sukkah l'mal mechavam is possible? Rabba says because the man yedu dorasechem, and you're not going to see the schach l'mal mechavam. Rabbi Zera Amar mehacha, based on the following second opinion from the following, the sukkah tiel l'tzel yom mecharev Ad Esrim Amma Adim Yoshev B'tzal Sukkah. Laman Esrim Amma Adim Yoshev B'tzal Sukkah B'tzal Defanos. That the Sukkah is supposed to be, that is supposed to be set up in such a way that the Schach provides you with the shade. Up until 20 Amos, it is the Schach that is indeed shading you, but once it's more than 20 Amos high, it's the walls that are providing you with the shade, more so than the Schach. So, and therefore, it's not a kosher sukkah because the schach has to be what provides you the protection and the shade. So, if that were the case, let's say you live in a valley next to two gigantic mountains. So, unless the sun is directly overhead, you never really get any sunlight anyway. You're in the shade all the time. So, you build a sukkah in such a valley, you're not going to be yotzei the mitzvah sukkah because you're really getting hanah. You're really getting shade and protection from the mountains and not from your schach. That can't be. That we don't ever heard of such a that you have to figure out whether you're on high ground or on in a valley before you build a sukkah. We all have to move to Colorado in order to build, in high points of Colorado in order to build a sukkah. Only in Washington Heights you can build a sukkah. You're not going to be allowed to build a sukkah anywhere. That's it can't be. So Amalei, Hasan Dal Ashtros Kanayim Ikotzel Sukkah. No, it's not a good comparison. If you were to remove the mountains, then structurally the sukkah would be providing you itself from the schach. But Hacha Dal Defanos like a tzel sukkah, but over here, if you were to remove the walls, there is no tzel from the sukkah, meaning when you just have a sukkah l'mal mechav hama, so the schach is more than 20 amos off the ground, the walls are providing you with shade, and if you take out off, if you remove those walls, you don't have any shade. And that's the second reason why sukkah l'mal mechav hama is possible, is because you're not getting the shade from the schach. And then the third reason, v'rav ha-mehacha, basukas teishu shivas yamin, Amra Torah, kol shivas yam tzei midiras keva, v'shav b'diras arai. For all 7 days, you should leave your diras keva and go dwell instead in your diras arai. So, that's from Amad Amos Diras and Diras Arai. It's only going to be considered a diras arai if it's less than 20 amos. But Lamal Me'asram Amin, the most diras and diras arai. You build these huge cathedral ceilings, more than 20 amos off the ground. That's a whole expansion on your house. That's not just a diras arai, and there el a diras keva becomes a diras keva, and therefore it's going to be puzzle because a sukkah needs to be structurally a diras arai. So says Abaye, really structurally it needs to be a diras arai. El Abaye, El Me'ata, Asa Mechitza Shal Barzel, the Sikah Chalgaban, Hachinami Dlavi Suka. So let's say you build your walls out of barzel. As these are very strong walls. You use stones like the Kotel stones or something. Those walls could stand for thousands of years, and so that's going to be, even if it's less than 20 amos, that's very much a diras keva. Are you going to tell me that that's not a sukkah because it's so structurally sound? No, we meant to say it's as follows. As long as it's the measurements are such that it would lend itself to a diras arai, how strong it actually is irrelevant. But if the dimensions of the sukkah are such that it could be a diras arai, then it's kosher enough to be a diras arai, it's kosher to be a sukkah. Even if you actually made it rock solid so that it could withstand hurricane winds or whatever. But the malam ichaf amadad mosad diras and diras keva kevali diras arai nami lo nafik. But if it's the malam ichaf amad where a person structurally, the dimensions wise, you have to make it a diras keva, otherwise the walls will be totally unstable and they can cave in. So then a person has to that by definition becomes a diras keva, and therefore you're not going to be yotze the mitzvah of sukkah in such a sukkah when it's so high off the ground. Tosfos raises a question that if we say that if it's lower than 20 amos, even if you made it into a diras keva, that it's okay because dimension wise it could have been a diras arai. So why is it that the Gemara in Tainis that Beis Menal tells us that Geshamim is a simon klala b'chag, that rain is a simon klala b'chag? After all, you can make a sukkah that if you can make it that it's an actual diras keva, even though dimensions wise it should be a diras arai, but it could be an actual diras keva. That means you could put roofing on top of your sukkah, meaning you could put boards that are totally flat that have, as long as they're gidule karka, they're not mechuber lekarka, the psalos garden v'yakev, but they could be rainproof. And so why is it that we consider that rain is considered a simon klala b'chag? Why should it be a simon klala b'chag? You can make, on a doraisa level, you can make a rainproof sukkah. Now it's true, on a derabanan level, there's something called the gzeres tikra, and you're not allowed to make a rainproof sukkah, but one would imagine that simon klala would be determined based on dinim daraisa, and would not be determined based on dinim derabanan. So Tosa suggests that even though the defanos you can make in a way of diras keva, the schach Pesach has to be made actually in an ofen arai, meaning the defanos could be made out of the mechitzah shel barzel. That's true, but the schach has to be made arai. You have no choice but to make the schach arai, and that's why it's a simen klal. Now, on this kasha that Tos says, this fasemis is miyashiv, that even if you say that even if you were to make it a diras keva, the sukkah would be kasher, but that's only when the sukkah could be arai. But if it rains in a way that if the sukkah were arai, it would ruin your soup, even if no rain is getting into your sukkah. Says the Sfas Emes, it would be, you'd be mevatel the mitzvah of sukkah. Even if rain doesn't get into the sukkah, it would be possible. Because even though by you the rain is not getting in, and it seems to be totally safe, there's a great chiddush la'alacha, Sfas Emes is saying. He's saying you could be sitting in your sukkah, not a drop of rain is coming in, and you're part from sukkah, and you're considered a hedyot for staying out in the sukkah, because had you made the sukkah in a diras arai kind of way, the rain would be getting in, and it would be enough rain to ruin your soup, and that's enough, or ruin your chalent, or whatever, however you define the type of food that would have to get ruined, and that would be enough to go inside. Wow! So even though you happen to be in a sukkah that's not allowing any rain in, that's how the Sfas Emes understands. Why would you have to go inside? So the Rama writes that anyone, basically Rishalmi, that call a patamin and a davar va'osehu nikra hedyot, that anyone is patam from something and he does it anyway, is considered a hedyot. So Rav Shachter points out that the word hedyot etymologically is the same as idiot, meaning idiot means a simple person. A person doesn't know anything. So nikra hedyot. In fact, one of the members of my shul told me that he was at a simcha somewhere recently, and he ran into somebody that used to stop by my shul once in a while, and he hadn't seen him in years. He never came to the shul in years. So he said, "I haven't seen you in years. You haven't stopped by the shul at all." So the fellow said, "You think I would come into your shul? Do you know how your rabbi talks?" And he said, "No, how does my rabbi talk? It sounds like it was about to be some juicy lashon hara." He once said that people who sit in the sukkah when it rains and stay in the sukkah are called idiots. A rabbi who can call such people idiots, I want nothing to do with. So now he has nothing to do with me, nothing to do with Rav Shechter, nothing to do with the Rama, because Rama says that nikra hedyot. So that's, it's the same word. But anyway, to each their own. You know, so the Gemara now analyzes. We have these three different opinions as to why it is that a sukkah, the Malam Echafama, is possible. Either Rabba's reason, because the Man Yedu Dorosechem, Rabbi Zeira's reason, because it has to be the schach that protects you from the elements, and not the walls that protect you from the elements. And then we had the Rava's reason, because it has to be a Diras Arai, or at least dimensionally a Diras Arai, and not a Diras Kevas. It says, Marakulu ki Rabba lo Ami. I understand why the others didn't want to say like Rabba from the Man Yedu Dorosechem, because of Yedir the Dorosu. That's just saying that you should. It's yedia for later generations but not about the time you're sitting in sukkah. But we should always remember that Hashem did nice things for us in the midbar. Rabbi Zeira nami lo ami, and I understand why the other shitos didn't want to say like Rabbi Zeira, because the pasuk that Rabbi Zeira marshaled as support for his opinion, the second opinion about how a sukkah tiel etzel yom mechorev, that is talking about sukkah shel Mashiach. That's talking about yimos Mashiach. Rabbi Zeira im kein lemakra v'chupatil v'tzel yomam, and Rabbi Zeira would respond, "I agree, it's talking about Mashiach, but still, why does it have to use the word v'sukkah? It says v'chupa. It could have just said v'chupatil v'tzel yomam. My v'sukkatil v'tzel yomam. Just the choice of words by choosing to use the word sukkah is telling me that even though the topic of the pasuk might be Yomos Mashiach, that's in fact not. It's in fact referring to something deeper as well, to the mitzvah of sukkah as well. Sham mina tarti. So you can see about Yomos Mashiach." And also about the mitzvah of sukkah. I also get why the first two opinions didn't want to say like Rava about Diras Arai, Mishum Kushyat Abaye, because Abaye had a strong kasha on that. Because if you made Mechitzah Shel Barzel, we hold it to kasher sukkah, even though that's not a Diras Arai, it's a Diras Keva. Now, granted, we answered the kasha of Abaye, but maybe they didn't like the answer of the kasha, the answer to the kasha of Abaye. They thought the kasha was a strong kasha. So I understand why each one doesn't want to say like the other opinions, that each one has something that says different than the other opinions. Now it's interesting when we say how who yediyah ledoros, that they didn't want to say the man yedu, because the man yedu refers to yediyah ledoros. Rashi writes, "Demayri b'diyas doros haban hekef sukos." Anone kavod anasa liyavos, because it's yediyah ledoros to remember the anone kavod. That, as we referred to before, is a machlokas and daf yir aleph and beis. What is it a remembrance to? Is it the Adonai HaKavod or is it the Sukkos Mamish? And it's so interesting because Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva says that it's actually a reference to the Sukkos Mamish, not like Rabbi Eliezer, that it's Adonai HaKavod. So why would Rashi assume, like the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, and to make it even stronger, not just why would he assume that way, you generally should not assume like Rabbi Eliezer when he disagrees with somebody, because Rabbi Eliezer, Shamutayu, he was from the Talmidim of Beis Shammai, we never paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. The Torah and the Shulchan Aruch also, though, mentioned that it's Adonai HaKavod in Tafresh Chavhei, even though the klal is Halacha Rabbi Akiva Mechavero, and the klal is Rabbi Eliezer Shamutayu, the Bekuri Yaakov explains, but over here we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer because in the Sugya it's Mevor that Rabbah holds like Rabbi Akiva, because the reason the Rashi Al Torah says Adonai HaKavod and not Sukkos Mamish is because if you say Sukkos Mamish, the word Hoshafti doesn't make so much sense, because it should have said Yashvu, they chose to dwell in Sukkos Mamish. Hoshafti sounds like something that Hashem did. So the Bekuri Yaakov writes, according to that, the Sugya makes sense that Rabbah holds like Rabbi Akiva, and since the Lashon of Hoshafti is difficult, so that's why Rabbah darshins that you need a Yediyah of the Yeshiva of the Sukkah, whereas Rava and Rabbi Zeira hold like Rabbi Eliezer that it's a reference to Adonai HaKavod, and therefore he holds that the Pasuk is speaking about Yediyah the Doros, and that's why Rashi says like Rabbi Eliezer. So since the halacha is like Rava, that Sukkah the Malam Yasser Mamam is Pasul in all situations, regardless of how wide or whatever the Sukkah is, and not like Rabba, that who we're about to soon see, holds that when the Defanos are Magil Seschach, it's going to be Kasher, so that's why the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch passing like Rabbi Eliezer, that it's Adonai HaKavod. So that's a discussion, and there are different approaches in Achronim as well, whether why it is that the Poskim seem to assume like Shitas Rabbi Eliezer against Shitas Rabbi Akiva, which goes against two different Klalei Apsak. So says Gemara now, we're going to quote three different statements of Amorayim and try to figure out which Shita they're following. So, Kaman Azal Adam Rabbi Yoshi Amarav, Machlokes B'Shem Defanos Magil Seschach, Av Defanos Magil Seschach, Afilu Malam Yasmer Amakshera. There is a statement of Rabbi Yoshi Amarav that if you have a sukkah that's even more than 20 amos high, but the Defanos reach all the way to the Seschach, everyone agrees it's kosher. Even the Tanakam, even the Chachamim will agree that it's kosher, as long as the walls reach all the way to the Seschach. You might be thinking to yourself, don't the walls of a sukkah always reach all the way to the Seschach? That's because you live in New York, where it's generally cold, but on Sukkot's time, so we try to build the Sukkot's pretty secure that the walls reach all the way to the Seschach. You will go to California or to Florida, they try to make the Sukkot's as airy as possible, unless they're putting air conditioning in. Then they'll make it with solid walls. But typically they want to be able to get a breeze in the Sukkot. The walls don't have to go all the way up to the Seschach, but if they do, then it could even be more than 20 amos above the ground. So which Shita, as far as why we possible above the 20 amos, would say that as long as the walls reach to the Seschach, it's going to be okay? So command, Rabba, the first Shita, Rabbu, said the man Yedu, the whole problem with Sukkah L'mal Mechavama is you're not going to see the Seschach, keeping the Tefanos Magil Seschach, Mishal Shalta Ba'ena. But if the walls reach all the way up the Seschach, your eye will catch the Seschach, because you'll follow up the walls all the way until you see the Seschach. And therefore, it's following the Shita of Rabba. A second statement we want to be able to attribute. Keman Azal Hada Amarav, Huna Amarav. All the statements are in the name of Rav, but different Amarav saying in the name of Rav. So the first statement was Rav Yoshia Amarav. Now we have Rav Huna Amarav. Now Machlok is B'Shem Ba'ela Arba Amos Al Arba Amos. That the Machlok is whether a Sukkah L'mal Mechav Amos Pasul is if the Sukkah's length and width is 4 Amos by 4 Amos. Aval Yesh Ba Yoser Me'ar Amos Al Arba Amos. But if the Sukkah's larger than 4 by 4 Amos, Afil L'mal Me'as Rav Aksheira, then it could be plenty high, then it could be even more than 20 Amos high off the ground, according to everybody. Even according to the Tanna Kamma. So who's that following? Command, Rabbi Zeira, Damishon Tzel, given the Ravicha, you could sell Sukkah. Now I must be following the Shita of Rabbi Zeira, who holds that the whole problem with the Sukkah, the Malin Chathama, is that you're not really getting shade from the Schach. Well, if it's a wide enough Sukkah, even if the walls are very, very high, you'll still be getting shade from the Schach. And then a third statement. Kaman Azla, Hada Amar, Rav Chanan Bar Rabba Amar Rav. Again, all in the name of Rav, but now it's Rav Chanan Bar Rabba talking in the name of Rav, that Machlokas B'Shem Machzagzal Kadei Rosh Rubu Shulchano, that the whole Machlokas about a Sukkah, the Samal Mechav Amma, is only if the Sukkah's length and width is the bare minimum size of being able to hold Rosh Rubu of Shulchano, which we're going to soon see, and not in today's daf, but we're going to soon see, is 7 Tfachim by 7 Tfachim. We assume Rosh Rubu of a person is 6 Tfachim by 6 Tfachim. Why it is that we assume a person is person's body is a perfect square, I'm not exactly sure, but we assume it's 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim. Once you throw in the table, so then it becomes 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. Avon lachsek is yosem k'dei rosh of rubo v'shulchano, but if the sukkah can hold more than rosh of rubo v'shulchano, afil l'mal l'meyasem amak sheira, then if it's more than 20 amos off the ground, it's going to be kosher. So kiman delo kechad, who's that following? It doesn't seem to be following any of the three shitos. If you're going to say that as soon as it's more than 7 by 7 tefachim, it could be way higher. So now we had three different statements qualifying this machlokas, all in the name of Rav, but three different statements that minimized this machlokas. Rabbi Yoshia said the machlokas is only if the walls don't reach the schach. Rav Huna said the machlokas is only if it's 4x4 amos or less. And Rav Chanan bar Rabba said the machlokas is only if it's 7x7 tefachim. But any more than that, there's not going to be a machlokas. So Bishlam is Rabbi Yoshia. I understand Rabbi Yoshia pliga ad Rav Huna Rav Chanan bar Rabba. Rabbi Yoshia, the first one who said that the machlokas is only if the walls don't reach the schach, disagrees with the other two, Deinu Kayavi Shira B'mashcha, V'ilu Lo Kayav Shira B'mashcha, because they don't give a shear of how long or wide the sukkah has to be. He gives a shear of how long or wide the sukkah has to be. Al Rav Huna V'Rav Chanan bar Rabba, name of a hechsher sukkah k'mefgi. But what exactly are Rav Huna and Rav Chanan bar Rabba themselves arguing about? Maybe the fact that that one of them says as soon as it's more than 7x7 tefachim, it could be more than 20 amos, and the other one says as soon as it's more than 4x4 amos, it could be more than 20 amos off the ground. Maybe they're arguing about what the minimum size of a sukkah is. Is it 7x7 tefachim, or is it 4x4 amos? The Marz of Hechsher Sukkah ba'arba amos. Then it must be that Rav Huna assumes that the Hechsher Sukkah is 4 amos, and that's why he said up until 4 amos, it's got to be within 20 amos of the ground. But more than 4 amos, it could be even more than 20 amos off the ground. Umar Sover and Rav Chanan bar Rabba must hold Hechsher Sukkah b'machsekes Rosh Hashanah v'Shulchano, that the bare minimum shear of a sukkah is 7x7 tefachim and not 4x4 amos. That must be the Nukudas HaMachlokas. So it says, well, lo, that is not the Nukudas HaMachlokas. Dukuli Alma, Hechsher Sukkah, Rosh Ruvah Shulchano. Everyone holds that the minimum size of a sukkah is 7x7 tefachim. V'hacha b'hakamethli. So why is it that Rav Huna and Rav Chanan bar Rabba are disagreeing as to at what size you can go above 20 amos? Is it when you're above 7x7 tefachim or when you're above 4x4 amos? They're arguing about the following. The Marz of Machsekes Rosh Ruvah Shulchano pligi, aval yosem rosh v'shulchano divrei kol k'sheira, that only when it's 7x7 tefachim is there a machlokas when it's a malam mechavama, but if it's more than rosh v'shulchano, everyone will hold that it's kosher. Umar sim rosh v'shulchano adal ramos pligi. No, that the machlokas about can you have a sukkah l'malam mechavama is if the sukkah is anywhere between 7x7 tefachim and dalet al dalet amos. Aval yoser mi dalet amos, but if the sukkah is more than dalet amos, then everyone's going to say that it's kosher. Period. So now, says the Gemara, basically, we have this machlokas, whether sukkah l'malam mechafama is pasul or kosher, right? Let's get back to basics. The Masechta started, sukkah l'malam mechafama. Tanakhama said pasul, and then Rabbi Yehuda came along and said kosher. So meisve, sukkah shigavo l'malam mechafama psula, Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Rav Yehuda says, it could be way higher. It could be up to 40-50 amos. So this is a brisa, paraphrasing what we said in the Mishnah, but adding a little bit of extra detail that could be even up until 40 or 50 amos. And then we add a lot more detail. That Rav Yehuda didn't just stam say it could be more than 20 amos. He proved it. And what was his proof? Amar Rav Yehuda, Maisa Be'elani Amalka. There was a story with Elani Amalka. Be'elud, in the town of Lud, she says, Sukasa Gavoa Me'esra Mama. Her sukkah was more than 20 amos tall. And the zakenim were going in and out of there all day. And none of the zakenim told her, hey lady, your sukkah is pasul because it's more than chafama. Says Rabbi Yehuda, don't you see that I'm right? That a sukkah l'malam chafama is kosher. So Amalad Chum said back to Rabbi Yehuda, Misham Raya, you're going to bring me a raya from the sukkah of Elani Amalka? Isha Isa. Elani Amalka was a woman. That's why they called her Amalka. She's an Isha. And Pturim and a Sukkah. An Isha is Pater from Sukkah. So he said right back, well, what are you talking about? She had seven sons, and she did everything exactly the way the Chachamim recommended. So why do we have to mention the idea that she did everything the way the Chachamim recommended? What's that adding to the response that they gave, that the Rabbanim gave to Rabbi Yehuda? So that's what they were saying to Rabbi Yehuda. If you're going to tell me, yeah, I know she had seven sons, but maybe they were very small, they were young children, and young children are patur from sukkah anyway, so she didn't need a kosher sukkah. No, they couldn't have all been young. If she had seven sons and they weren't quintuplets or something, so at least one of them had to be old enough that he's a chayv in chinuch in terms of sukkah. And if you want to argue, yeah, but it's only mitam chinuch, maybe she didn't really care about the digim drabanan of chinuch, chinuch is only mechayiv mitrabanan, so that's why we add toshma vol kol masalosa al pi chachamim. That's why we add that everything she did is only al pi chachamim. That's the raya that Rabbi Yehuda brought to the rabbanan, that a sukkah l'mal mechavama is kosher, because Hilani and Malka had such a sukkah. The rabbanan responded that she's an isha. Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, but she had sons, and therefore the sukkah had to have been kosher, even though it was l'mal mechavama. Now, what the Gemara is going to say over here is, wait a second, the raya has to be talking about a case where they in fact argue, but we had three different possibilities of when they don't argue. That it could be that if the sukkah is bigger than 7x7 tefachim, they already don't argue. So it's hard to imagine the sukkah of Helani Amalka is 7x7 tefachim. It has to be larger than that. So why would the Rabbi Yehuda be bringing a raya if they're already not arguing in such a case? So that's what the Gemara says. Bishul manim shein defanus megilas l'schach machlokas darkus shemakolish b'suk shein defanus megilas l'schach mishum avira. If you're going to say the whole machlokas is only if the sukkah, the walls don't reach the schach, okay, so maybe this is talking about a case where the walls don't reach the schach, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda tries to bring a raya. Al manim b'suk katanim machlokas. But if you hold that the machlokas is only if they have a teeny tiny sukkah, you think the queen is sitting in such a teeny tiny sukkah? It can't be. So isn't this a raya, therefore, that against shitos number 2 and 3? Meaning shita number 1, that the Rav said, was that they only don't argue when the walls reach the schach. Okay, so as long as the walls don't reach the schach, it's roi to bring a raya from. But shitos number 2 and 3 is that they only argue when it's a teeny tiny sukkah. They already don't argue if it's a larger sukkah. So Rabbi Yehuda is going to make a point about a sukkah that's a large sukkah? Can't be. Everyone knows that a large sukkah is going to be kosher. The Rabbanan should be moda to Rabbi Yehuda in that point. So we're going to stop there. But tomorrow we'll pick up with the response that the Gemara has to this raya. Have a wonderful evening, everybody. Thank you, Rabbi Schwartz. Good to see you. Thank you for the sponsor.
Good Shabbos as well.
Good Shabbos, everyone. Oh, yeah, Matzai Shabbos. We'll give it a shot at 10 o'clock. Bez Hashem. 10 o'clock.
Rabbi, are you going to post it? I missed the first 18 minutes.
I'll post it, Bez Hashem. I'm not sure when. Later tonight. By tomorrow, it will be posted.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Happy Shabbos. Happy birthday. Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi.